Hello and welcome to the CGF podcast. My name is Louise Chester. I work in the communications team at the Consumer Goods Forum, and this is the latest episode in our new podcast series where we delve behind the scenes of our work and we share our thoughts about the challenges facing our industry, the planet, and its people. The Consumer Goods Forum is a CEO-led organization that helps the world's retailers and consumer goods manufacturers to collaborate alongside other key stakeholders to secure consumer trust and drive positive change, including greater efficiency. So today I'm joined by Peter Friedman, the CGF's Managing Director. The team has just come back from our flagship event, the Global Summit in Vancouver, and I wanted to really take this moment as we're at the midway point in the year to get Peter's thoughts on this year's summit, the June board meeting, and also the industry's progress on the key issues that we're working on. So hello, Peter. Thank you for joining me and welcome to the CGF podcast.
Hi, Louise. I'm delighted to be here. I think it's my first podcast, so I'm looking forward to it.
So what made this year's Global Summit special, in your opinion, Peter? What stood out?
Well, I think it was truly a great summit, and you might think that I say that every year, but I've talked to a number of people, as I always do, to get a feel for what they thought about the summit. And for those of us who've been to a number, I think it stood out both, I'd say in three ways. Physically, I'll explain what I mean by that. Content, and then mood. So to start with the physical, if anyone's been to a summit, they all, of course, are unique because we usually go to a different location each year. This year, as you say, we went to Vancouver. Vancouver is an amazing city, and this was an amazing physical space, the Vancouver Convention Center, with literally floor-to-ceiling windows, absolutely astonishing, amazing views. And I'll explain why in a second, but you know, throughout the whole week, if you were so minded, you could look out the window and you could see seaplanes taking off on the ocean. So it was a very unusual setting. By the way, a very sustainable setting in terms of environmental sustainability, at least. And we did a few things physically that connected nature, if you like. We were looking at nature, connected nature to the conference itself. One of the things we did was that the whole area where we have the eye zone, for people familiar with that, was connected to the outside world, and the eye zone was also connected to the main theatre where all the main plenary speeches took place. So people could wander around very freely, and this we don't normally do, we're not normally able to do, but it's a much more open feeling that made, I think, everyone feel connected both to each other and to the innovations and to the content that I'll talk about in a second. We did a number of new things that were possible in that space. One of the things we did was we had more eye zone opportunities. And so we brought in, unusually for us, non-traditional companies who could help us engage with innovations outside the industry. We called it our startup zone, but essentially we had a lot of small companies, mostly software companies, not just software companies, coming in and talking to us about what they could offer. That got extremely positive reviews. We opened up a sort of subsidiary space. So it's a bit like, I'm British, so you know, if you think about Centre Court in Wimbledon and Number One Court, the Centre Court is the main plenary space. And the Number One Court is the iTalks, where we have, during the breaks, a number of other very rich content discussions open to anyone who wants to come along, but usually 50 or 60 people showed up, much more interactive. The iTalks got really positive reviews, and we did a whole number of them. I've lost count, again, in the spirit of opening things up and engaging people. And then we had meetups, and this was another innovation, where my colleagues who lead each area of our agenda, or our positive change agenda, literally offered themselves for meetups so they could explain a bit more about what's going on in the agenda. And I could go on, but physically it was a much more interactive experience. And I'm sure we'll have, as they like to say, suggestions for improvement. But in general, what I've heard so far, I think all of that was very positive. Now, if I talk about content, again, I'm generalizing a lot, but there was an element of content that I was really pleased with, which is that we started having our speakers started talking in ways that connected the CGF's agenda of positive change back to their business, to their core business objectives. They didn't do that because we asked them. They did that because that's the way most businesses are thinking these days, to connect profit and purpose. And so a number of the speakers were able to talk about how in their core business they're driving sustainability or health initiatives. Linked to that, I think, and we're not perfect here, but we had, I think, more honesty on the stage. And those of us who've been to global summits before will probably remember that some of the speeches have in the past been a bit corporate. We've had chief executives, the world's leading companies often, typically talking in a rather corporate way. And I think, again, Vancouver this year was a little bit different, not perfect, but a little bit different. I learned a new acronym in Vancouver, and that was the acronym AMA. And AMA stands for Ask Me Anything. And Ask Me Anything, we're not quite there, but we were definitely moving in that direction. So I would call out, for example, Mark Schneider, the CEO of Nestle, who didn't give a speech. He gave an interview on stage, and it was pretty much Ask Me Anything. And so he was quizzed on a whole variety of topics related to positive change and responded, I thought anyway, in a very honest way. And that was, I think, well recognized by much of the audience. I'm not going to call out all of the plenary sessions, but let me pick out a couple, three more. Another one was Galen Weston, who's the CEO and chairman of Loblaw, the Canadian, biggest Canadian retailer. And he talked almost entirely about the sustainability initiatives in Loblaw. Again, not because he was at the CGF Global Summit, but because those sustainability initiatives are critical to his business and to building trust with his shoppers. And what I found encouraging from Galen, I think many others did too, was that, yes, the world has problems, many of them. But he brought an optimism to the possibility of us finding solutions. Most particularly, he talked a lot about plastic waste. And as he said, if ever there is an issue where collaboration, whether CGF's purpose, that is collaboration between manufacturers and retailers, can make a difference, it has to be plastic waste. We are utterly at the center of the action. We're partly responsible for the problem, not entirely, but we may be very considerably a source of the solution. And he gave a number of examples of where, again, startups, innovation, entrepreneurs are helping his business address the problem of plastic waste. Another Canadian business, McCain's, led by not a Canadian, but a man from Luxembourg, Max Kuhner, the CEO of McCain, also, I thought, gave a very inspiring and optimistic speech on the possibility for agriculture to be more sustainable. And that business, again, invests a lot in sustainable agriculture because they think it's good business to do so. So that was, I think, an encouraging speech from two encouraging speeches from two Canadian companies. We heard from Judith McKenna, that's another one I would call out, who is the CEO of Walmart International, in other words, everything outside of the US for Walmart, who talked about the initiatives, and particularly the digital initiatives that they're driving globally, and how their culture is adapting, continues to adapt to the global markets in which they're competing. Obviously, as we all know, Walmart on a bit of an up these days, having accelerated its response to the challenges of marketplaces and digital platforms. And then the last one, I always end up calling out the last speaker of the summit, and the last speaker of the summit was an astronaut, who I think most people were quite surprised for. Most of us were expecting an astronaut to be, well, inspiring, you know, out of this world perspective. And he was all of that, but he was also really funny.
He was.
And he started on stage cracking jokes, and he ended cracking jokes. Some of them really about quite physical things to do with spending a year in space, which isn't always shareable in polite company, so I won't do it now, but certainly got us all rolling in the aisles. So I thought the content of Vancouver was really inspiring and a little bit different in the sense of that connection to the CGF agenda. And then lastly, mood is always hard to feel, but I think there is a sense now of momentum in the industry. That doesn't mean that anyone's results are getting better. So I'm not necessarily talking about the economy, but more a sense that the disruption we've faced over the last, 10 years, but particularly the last 5 years, whilst that disruption is ongoing, there is an increasing sense that companies sort of have a feel as to where they want to go. They haven't executed it yet. But as Judith McKenna said, we now know what omnichannel means. A number of speakers actually mentioned that. That the future in retail anyway is neither physical stores nor online. It's a mixture of the two. We've all known that. But I think that was increasingly clear, and increasingly clear that the way to address the future, if you're an established retailer in a world of disruption, is to really lean into the change. And if you do one thing as a CEO, it's to encourage continuous innovation. And if you're not innovating to the point of failure, you're not then innovating enough. So I'd be careful about how I phrase the mood. I'm not necessarily saying optimism, but a sense of direction, a sense of determination, a sense of at least knowing what we need to do, even if that thing that we need to do is to keep changing, mm-hmm. is to keep innovating. So again, a sort of a difference from where we were even just 2 or 3 years ago. I think in collaboration, the hallmark of the CGF is alive and well, but challenged. We all know with the economic pressures that collaboration between manufacturers and retailers remains challenging. So I don't want to have rose-tinted spectacles on that. But I think equally a sense that collaboration, no matter how challenging it is more critical than ever. And I go back to Galen Weston's point about the criticality of collaboration to address the world's biggest problems like plastic waste. So hopefully a new mood, a forward-looking and energized mood, but obviously we've got a number of challenges ahead. All of that, I thought, was a fantastic energizer for a week in Vancouver. I think we all feel pretty energized having come back.
Absolutely. I have to agree. I do think it was a rather special event this year. And despite the jet lag, I think that the team's come back feeling energized and ready to go. So the CGF board also met just before the summit and agreed upon the agenda going forwards. Could you share any of the details of that discussion?
Sure. I'll share a little bit anyway. First of all, it was a very well attended board. Most people know the board consists of over 50 chief executives, manufacturers, and retailers. And inevitably, everyone has extremely busy agendas. So we don't get, I think there are currently 54 members of the board, and we don't always have 54 attending. It's just physically not possible. But I think this time we had about 46, which is a pretty good turnout. And we packed them all around rather small tables, so they were all got to know each other extremely well. We run board meetings now with a lot of breakouts. So when I first joined, we used to run the board, as somebody described it, a bit like a United Nations meeting, with a big U-shaped table with everyone sitting around it, staring at each other. Now we sit them all on small tables, and we spend most of the time in breakout discussions in those small tables. So what do we talk about in those breakouts? We always review the full CGF agenda, and at the last count, that is 10 different initiatives covering sustainability, health and wellness, value chain, and product safety. But we focused on a few, those where we wanted particularly to get board input, given the juncture that those initiatives are at, and specifically spent most of the time on three: deforestation, data, and plastic waste. So I'll just give you a sort of a sense of where we are on each of those. Deforestation, we are now in 2019, we are approaching the magic date of 2020, which was established in the very first CGF board resolution to move towards zero net deforestation. That was passed, and that resolution was passed in 2010, but it said we will work to achieving zero net deforestation by 2020. And one of the conclusions that we have come to in recent years, actually, and the board clearly recognizes, is that we are not going to make it. We will not deliver fully on our role in zero net deforestation, which mainly consists of sourcing a few commodity groups sustainably. And typically that means that those commodities would be sourced, would be certified sustainable. We have made a lot of progress, actually, and it's easy in all the concerns about not meeting the objective in full to forget that we've made a lot of progress. A lot of companies have significantly increased, in fact, almost every company has significantly increased its sustainable sourcing since 2010. A number of companies have reached 100%, but not all, and that's what we wanted. We wanted all companies to reach 100%. So we debated that, and we debated the reasons why. And we spent quite a bit of time figuring out or agreeing the future direction. And we'll talk more about this later on in the autumn. But we have now developed, I think, a much more compelling strategy, which reflects what we now know about how the supply chain works on deforestation that we didn't know in 2010. So we've learnt. We've made progress. We've learnt. And the future direction on deforestation will take account of those learnings. By the way, that future direction was also developed with a number of NGOs and other very expert stakeholders. So I think we're much more confident now that the approach to deforestation in the future will work. But that was a mixed discussion, recognizing that we've made progress, but we haven't done exactly what we want to do, and so we're going to accelerate going forward. Then we talked about data. Now, product data is not the most sexy topic in the world, but it's one of those topics that is absolutely essential, as all of us know, if we think about it for a second, absolutely essential to business. Mm-hmm. If you can't describe your product when a consumer is looking online and they get inaccurate or incomplete information when they search, then guess what? They're probably not going to buy the product. So it's pretty obvious that we need to do something about product data, and we're pretty clear as the CGF what that is. It's a set of three projects that we're working on now as we speak with GS1, the Global Data Standards Organization. And it's also testing some much more advanced new technology using artificial intelligence. So we reviewed those projects, and all of the CEOs recognized that they themselves, as CEOs, needed to play a big role in driving data forward. They've known that for a while. They're sort of in the board meeting, looking each other in the eyes, holding themselves accountable. Are you really getting prepared for these projects? So I think it was a good, energizing discussion. We know exactly what we've got to do. We're getting started. Importantly, the CEOs know what they have to do as well. But there's a lot to do going forward. That is very clear. And the last in-depth topic, I'll talk about a couple of other things, but the last in-depth topic that the board spent time on was plastic waste. And there they reviewed the very early output from some research work that we've commissioned on waste management systems. And we are trying to figure out exactly what role the industry can play in moving the industry towards much more efficient waste management systems that basically allow 100% recycling, and ideally, where possible, a circular economy as well.
So what's coming up in the next 6 months for the CGF then?
Lots is the answer to that question. But rather than list it all, what I will call out maybe is one particular aspect that we also talked about in the board, and that is our regional approach. So you can expect going forward, not just over the next 6 months, I think, to see more activity at the regional level, that is more engagement, hopefully more engagement of our member companies at the regional level. Obviously Europe, but in particular I'm thinking of our regional offices in North America, in Latin America, in Japan and in China. In each of those places we have meetings, gatherings of member companies that are focused on particular, implementing particular aspects of our agenda. Not always the same aspects. The members in those regions have chosen which elements of the 10 initiatives they think are most important. And they vary a bit. So in China, we're probably going to focus, in addition to food safety, on data, product data initiative I talked about, and environmental sustainability. In Latin America, the group down there is focusing on food safety, but also on food waste and on collaboration for healthier lives. Mm-hmm. In North America, we're also focusing on food waste and collaboration for healthier lives. Okay. And in Japan, we're focusing on pretty much everything because we have a very thriving set of members in Japan. So I mention those because I think going forward in the next 6 months, we're going to see a stronger focus on those regional groups. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll support them in driving forward the agenda. And hopefully it'll be consistent also with this direction of coalitions of action that I was talking about earlier. So it's going to be a very busy 6 months, a lot to follow up on following the board, a lot to follow up on following the Global Summit. And of course, we're looking forward to the Future Leaders Program and the Sustainable Retail Summit, which come in October. So there we go.
Fantastic. Good to know. And absolutely, from my perspective, I can see that the work of the regional offices is just taking off, because my work in the comms team has tripled as well. So Peter, a final question that I do like to ask everybody, and that is, where do you hope to see the industry in 5 years' time?
Well, I hope and expect to see it still here and thriving, but of course it'll look a little bit different. I think, you know, if I call out a couple of the directions of change, certainly that we talked about in Vancouver, for the brands, for the whether they're manufacturer brands or increasingly retailer brands, I think the key word is that we talked about a lot in Vancouver is honesty. And by that we mean building brands that connect with consumers because they're transparent about where they come from and what's in them, yes, but also connect with consumers because they engage in a dialogue in the way that small challenger brands are able to do now. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see much more of that from the bigger brands, and if we, you know, because if we don't, I don't think they will survive. Yeah. So I think that the notion of brand honesty, I think, is a lasting trend that mm-hmm. we'll see over the next 5 years. And on the retail side, I think, you know, we're going to see a continuing blurring between e-commerce and bricks and mortar stores and marketplaces between online and offline. And we may, in 5 years' time, struggle to remember which retailer originated offline and which retailer originated online. And those are fairly obvious trends, but I think the one thing we also know is that we're going to be surprised by something. The last consumer trend that really, I think, took everyone by surprise was this challenge of plastic waste. Mm-hmm. But there are certain to be others coming up in the next 5 years. And the winners obviously will be those who spot those consumer trends quicker than others.
So what do you think those next consumer trends might be?
I have absolutely no idea, and if I did, I wouldn't tell you. I have no idea. So we'll keep watching consumers. The consumers know best, and I think if you keep that mantra in your head, then at least you're pointing in the right direction.
Thank you so much, Peter. It's been great to get your insights on how things are moving forwards.
My pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. For any listeners who want to find out more about the mission and work of the CGF, you can visit our website at www.theconsumergoodsforum.com. If you enjoyed the episode, please do subscribe to the podcast for more episodes coming very soon. Thank you and goodbye.